How many of you have seen children with behavior problems? Anyone? How many of you have children that have behavior problems? Or grandchildren? Almost everybody raised their hand. When Paul was writing to a young minister by the name of Timothy, and these words, by the way, recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, "But if I tarry long," that is, delay to come to you soon, "I do that you may know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the family of God." We teach children how to behave. They don't always behave like we teach them to behave, however. And adults do not have to be taught how to behave, right? Wrong? Wrong. Unfortunately, adults even need it more than children do. Do you all agree with that or not? Amen? Yeah. If you don't believe that, how many of you have been to a sporting event that involved young children lately? Did y'all go to any of the ball games during the summer when they were playing ball? And do you ever see parents get mad and enraged, maybe about a call? You ever see that? I've seen it. You ever been driving down the highway and someone decide they want to practice road rage and they try to run over you? Maybe you're going too slow. Maybe you left your blinker on. Maybe you passed them and they didn't want you to get away with it. We see it on the highways. We see it in neighborhoods. You know, I'm thankful for our neighborhood. We've been there for 40 years. And it's really a quiet neighborhood. Now, through the years, we've had some behavior problems with children. Not our own, of course. But we see behavioral problems in the church. And when Paul writes these words, matter of fact, he's writing to encourage Timothy to tell other people how they ought to behave themselves in the church of the living God. Now, he's not talking about the building here. Now, we always make sure that our kids do the right thing when they're here in the what we call the sanctuary or the church auditorium. I don't know how many times I've heard parents say, "Now, don't run, you're in the church house." But what Paul is talking about is something much, much deeper than that. How we ought to behave ourselves in the church, which is the family of God. We all have to be reminded from time to time, me included, of what it really means to behave ourselves in God's church. Our behavior either enhances or it destroys God's work. That's the reason in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul says that we're to behave properly toward outsiders. What does our behavior say to those who are outside the church? Those that are non-Christians. I think it says a lot, and I think it speaks volumes. I think it really behooves us to go back and understand what Christ meant in the book of Matthew 5:16, to so let your light shine before men or before the world that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are to be wise in the way that we act, according to Colossians 4, verse 5 through 6. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, we are to have a good reputation outside the body of Christ. Now, isn't that something? I hear people talk about the faithfulness of those who are in the kingdom. But did you know the Bible says that we are to have a good reputation outside the body of Christ? When you go back and look at the early church in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said that the church had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. And notice that those being saved were based upon the good behavior of those who were Christians or those who were children of God. Now, that didn't just happen with the early church. It actually originated with Christ. For in the book of Luke 2 and verse 52, the Bible says that Jesus grew in stature and in favor with God and with man. So he set the example, did he not? And the Bible in the book of 1 Peter says that we are to follow his example. We are to follow in his steps. He left us an example that we should do so. And so if we're really going to do what is right and behave ourselves, and we must behave ourselves on the outside of the church as well as within the body itself. Now I want to suggest to you tonight some recommendations on how we should behave. Do you know the Bible says that we are to lead a quiet and peaceable life? That is, we're not out trying to stir up trouble. It means that we're not out trying to create problems within the body or problems on the outside of the church. Have you ever seen people like that? I mean, outside the body, I've seen Christians sometimes stir up trouble in the community and arouse contention. I've seen them do it outside the church. I've seen them do it within the body of Christ. I think of Paul, if you could really put that in a modern day vernacular, it would be something like this. Tend to your own business. You know, very few people actually do that. We feel like that we have the responsibility to tend to the business of other folks also. Now, I'm not talking about when it's a sinful thing. I believe that we are to respond to that. For the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if you see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou be tempted." But sometimes people just want to get in everybody else's business, and they want to tell everybody else what they ought to do. And they want to tell everybody else, "Well, this is what I would do if I were you." You never win trying to tell other people what to do. The Bible says that you're to work with your own hands. Let me read tonight from the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I want to read a little bit lengthy reading here, verse 6 down through 15. The Bible says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition or the word of God that you've received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved ourselves not disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail day and night, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto those of you who would follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies." Now I want you to get the picture here, what Paul is talking about. Normally, when we think about people that are creating problems in the church, we think about people maybe that are involved in sin, or we think about people that are just trying to stir up trouble. Actually, Paul doesn't even mention that here. He does mention, however, busybodies, and he does mention those who are lazy and indolent and will not work. Someone asked me one time, they said, "Do you think it is a sin not to work?" Absolutely. God put you here to work. He did. Every one of us. And he says, "For we hear that there are some that walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but they are busybodies." He says, "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well doing." But there are some folks that are lazy. I mean, honestly, there are. And the welfare rows are padded with lazy folk. I'm not opposed to welfare. I mean, honestly, when people really need assistance, hey, I'm all for giving assistance to anyone. I've done it many, many times out of my own pocket. Didn't wait for the church to do it. Many of you have done the same thing. And I think that is a responsibility that God has placed upon us as brothers to do that. I think there are times when we do things out of the church treasury to meet the needs of other people, but I think also there are times when we do it individually to do it. But Paul says there are just some that are lazy, who will not work, they are shiftless, they are slothful. And here are the ones he says you withdraw from. So how do you behave yourself? Well, I would tell you tonight that according to the Bible, and I think you'll read on a little bit further, you recognize that we are to love the brethren. In John, the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." In the book of Leviticus 19 and 18, this is really not something new either, because when we find Jesus saying, it was a young man one time that came to Jesus. Let me put it in perspective here. And he asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, what is the first commandment?" And Jesus said, "It is this, that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength." Now, that's the first commandment. But he said, the second is likened to it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on this hang all the law and the prophets, and it does. Go back to the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, and you will find it to be true. That you were to love your neighbor as yourself. What Christ said was not new. He was really telling the truth. He was reiterating what you find over in that book of law. In the book of Leviticus. But do most Christians really love one another? We tolerate one another sometimes. We put up with each other. We follow Paul's instruction when he says to forbear with one another. And that's what it really means, is to put up with. But do we really love one another? In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 through 12, John writes, "And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and now the true light shineth. And he that saith he is in the light, and he hates his brother, is in darkness even until now. But he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." This morning we talked about it. We mentioned love. Should we love one another in spite of their faults? Absolutely, you love them. You call them to repentance? Absolutely. Do you call them to change? Absolutely, you love them. You love your children? Sure, you love your children. Even when they do wrong? Absolutely, you love your children. Sure, you love them. When our children do wrong, we want what's best for them. There was a young boy one time who was guilty of a crime, and the mother went before that judge as he stood there. And the young son stood there and heard the charges. But the mother, in her great love for her son, pled before the judge. She said, "Your Honor, I ask for mercy." And the judge said, "He deserves no mercy." And she said, "But Your Honor, if he deserved it, it would not be mercy. Mercy is something that you offer, not because anyone deserves it, but you give it to them. You sow mercy and you sow grace." And you know what? That is exactly what God has done for us, isn't it? We didn't deserve mercy. You can't deserve mercy. Does anyone really deserve your love? No. Sometimes we say, "Well, I'll love them if they're ever really deserving." I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad people love me in spite of my undeserving ways. And I'm more especially glad tonight that God loves me and that he showers his grace upon me when I am unlovable. And God does all of that we may understand how we are to behave ourselves in the church of the living God. Love one another. Few Christians really do. I've had people tell me, "Well, I like them, I love them because they're just like me." That's not a reason to love people. Do you know, in reality, most of us marry someone that is the opposite of us. Have you ever noticed that? You ever noticed how opposite Diane and Adam are? How quiet and how peaceable Adam is. I don't know what y'all are laughing at. I know who you married to. And most people are attracted to opposites. Somebody's very flamboyant is married to somebody generally that's very quiet. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Women can be very flamboyant, and the man can be somewhat mousy, too. You ever seen that? And we ain't calling no names on that one tonight. But you know what I'm talking about. I've had people tell me, well, you know what? I would love them if they interpreted the scripture like me. Now, that's no basis for love, is it? We may differ on interpretation of the scripture. That does not mean that we don't love one another. You still have to love one another. When Paul is writing this letter to young Timothy, he obviously, and certainly in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think inherent in his writing, he's talking about people that are perhaps misbehaving with regard to sexual immorality in the church. It was going on in Corinth, all kinds of things. Incestuous relationships were going on in Corinth. They had socially unacceptable habits in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. They quit work, and they were letting the church support them and take care of them. And some of them in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and also 1 Thessalonians 4:13 were teaching gross doctrines that were foreign to the teaching of Christ. They were teaching false doctrine concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But if you go back to the book of 1 Corinthians 13, you remember that love is patient. Love is not self-righteous. When someone is guilty of a sin, you love them. There's no reason to hate people. Sometimes people take it that because you don't agree with them and because you call them to do that which is right, that you hate them, you dislike them. That's not the case at all. The whole objective is to bring a brother back, isn't it? And to show that love. I mean, to me, an act of love would be to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to worry about you. Paul says, I've written these things that you may know how to behave yourself. Our behavior is so important, whether you're talking about in the body of Christ or in the church, or whether you're talking about among people out in the world. Jesus did that. It wasn't by accident that he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. And it wasn't by accident that the early church had favor with all the people. And God added to the church daily such as were being saved. Our behavior affects how we grow individually. It does. You can't behave ungodly and hope to grow spiritually. That formula will not work. And the same thing is true with the body of Christ as well. That's why how we act and what we say and how we react is so important. The Bible says that we are to have a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope that every one of us will just be reminded of that tonight. You know, there are sometimes we just all have to be reminded again. Peter says, even though you're established in these things, I cease not to make mention of them at the present. And there are times when all of us have to, I think, look in the mirror at ourselves and say, hey, am I behaving as God wants me to behave? Am I living the kind of life that is becoming to God? Am I being a good example to those outside the body of Christ? And am I being a good example to the church where I attend? Now, that's something to think about. I hope tonight as we sing our song of encouragement that you will do just that. And you will think about it and give it a lot of thought. because it's so important. If you're not a Christian tonight, the appeal of Christ is to come to Him, as we mentioned this morning, to surrender to Him. Do you know the beautiful thing about a surrender to Jesus Christ is that you win? Generally, when you think about surrender, you think about a loss. There's no loss to those who surrender to Jesus, to accept Him as Lord and Savior, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. And I ask you to surrender to Him tonight. If you're not a Christian, to obey His will. And if you're a Christian, I ask you also to surrender to Him, to be a light, to be a part of that city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid, while we stand and while we sing.